Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Good morning!
Hello!
Hi!
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Monday.
For us, it's a Saturday morning. After Saturday we record this, I want to make myself some avocado toast and probably some sweet potatoes. Doesn't that sound good? I love sweet potatoes so much.
I went to eat breakfast this morning and found I didn't have any milk, so I didn't. Don't get excited.
I thought you meant you went to breakfast this morning, and I was like, oh, wow, I would love to go to a breakfast.
Absolutely not. That did not
happen.
Yeah,
Penny D.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
My name is Ian Allred, and I don't know if you've heard. I'm trying to make this a thing, get it going. Mm. I just really would like people to know that I'm a Gleek.
Oh my gosh! Well, that's
so.
The
if you could
thing.
Tell people, what?
That's the thing. Is I am Lena Knatzer, and I am also trying to make this thing happen. I am also a Gleek.
Oh my
it's
gosh,
really crazy.
No way.
Let
You're
us know if you guys are
my Gleek. Brand.
That's really interesting. We have this thing in common. Oh my gosh.
It'd be wild to find out if the people listening were Gleeks. It would be very exciting.
Wow. I like to imagine that. Well, let's get into the mini-sode, shall we? Keep
What's
this mini-sode
up?
As many as possible. A few items of business before we start. Thank you for messaging us and sending us voicemails and sending us emails. We love to see and hear them and read them all. Obviously, not all of them like fit into the mini-sode. So I'm sorry, but we have love for all of you and all of your messages. I just feel like we haven't said that in a couple weeks, and I felt bad. But thank you for messaging us. Here's just a select few to keep the episode as many as possible. So let's get into it.
Oh, yeah.
Up first, we have a voicemail from Reagan.
Let's do this. Let's make this whole mini-soda musical.
Do not tempt me. I would.
All right. Here we go, Reagan.
Here we go, Reagan.
Hi, Lena and Ian. This is Reagan. This is she, her pronouns. I'm from Michigan, so I'm not international, unfortunately. But I just started listening to duets. I'm going to tell you right now that I have not gotten past the ad that you guys have. Because for the past 3 weeks, I've been listening to this ad, or however long you've had it, and I've been having an existential crisis every single time. Ian says, Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast. Why does he say the word colon? It's been causing me legitimate stress for the past however many times you've done it. I literally don't understand. I just thought it would be Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast, you know, like a little pause. Like, why is he saying the word colon? Are you supposed to? Like, I literally, like, now I'm trying to question whether or not I know grammar. This has been a really long rant about this, but I'm actually legitimately stressed. It's causing me a lot of stress. Please answer the question. I love you guys so much. Goodbye.
Reagan, I'm so sorry you had to find out like this and that our education system has failed you.
Oh my God.
But yes, you are supposed to say all colons out loud.
No, you guys need to learn this of Ian. Ian's just a weirdie.
It's like how, like when we did the Grinch minisode and I kept calling it the Grinch exclamation point, mm-hmm. the musical live.
Yeah.
I have inside jokes with myself, not yeah. with another person. No, it is not a bit between me and someone else. They are things to entertain myself and no one else. And one of them is to vocalize punctuation. Just in case we have anyone listening to this episode, like months in the future, mm-hmm. when that ad is no longer running. At the time of recording this, there is an ad that starts out with me going, "Hey, this is Ian Allred from Recovering Gleek, Ugly Podcast." And we also have gotten a lot of people that will message us and be like, "I just realized today that you're saying a Glee podcast. I thought you were saying Ugly Podcast."
Yeah, that makes me laugh.
I was deeming our podcast itself unattractive, which is frankly not true, because if this podcast had a face, it would be hot as hell.
Yeah, wow, everyone the hottest podcast ever.
But Reagan, you are correct. I was just trying to spice it up a little. What can I say?
Well, Reagan, thank you so much for your message. Up next, we have an email from Miranda.
"Hi, this is totally random and has nothing to do with Glee, but you were discussing Grease 2, and I'm concerned you don't know about this very important life fact. Did you know that High School Musical was originally going to be Grease 3? This is straight from the IMDb trivia page. And then this next paragraph is a quote. The film has its origins in a 1999 script entitled Grease 3. Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake were to star as the children of Danny Zuko and Sandy Olsen from the 1978 film. The plot was virtually the same as that of High School Musical, but with more similarities to Grease. The character who would become Sharpay was to be the daughter of Betty Rizzo. Producers tried to get Christina Aguilera for the part, but she declined. Timberlake's bandmates from NSYNC were to have supporting roles." Fun fact, everyone, they also were to have supporting roles in Attack of the Clones. This is not a bit.
That's not a bit. They cut it out.
And people got so pissed about it that Lucasfilm cut it out of the movie.
It makes me pissed that happened. They should have kept him in.
Oh, man. That right there encapsulates so many things that were wrong with the prequel trilogy that they thought putting NSYNC in it was a good idea.
They knew putting NSYNC in it would be a good idea.
With John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John allegedly approached for cameo roles. Before the script went through a second rewrite, the project was shelved until 2004. Producers would have needed permission from those who owned the rights to Grease, and so the idea evolved into High School Musical." End quote. This makes a lot of sense looking back at High School Musical, as the plot and themes of fitting in with your friends versus going after what/who you love are very similar, minus the smoking, street racing, and teen pregnancy, of course. But despite my deep love and nostalgia for High School Musical, I think we were absolutely robbed, and I would love to have seen that cast. Also, how are the plots virtually the same? If Troy and Gabriella were siblings, were they separated at birth like the Parent Trap? I have so many thoughts and would love to hear yours. Lots of love, stay safe and warm. Miranda from Michigan." Miranda, I'm just going to say, I at least hope that in the script, Sandy and Danny never got married.
Yeah.
That it was like a high school fling, and then they broke up after high school and went their separate ways. Mm-hmm. I sincerely hope that Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake, who were dating in real life, were going to play brother and sister in Grease 3 and potentially have another love connection on screen.
Hey, this is Ian from the future. I feel like it's self-explanatory, but just to be safe, I meant to say that I sincerely hope they were not going to play siblings.
I can't even, like, this whole fact, I was so surprised to read. Like, I can't even wrap my head around it. I don't even think I have thoughts at this time. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, yeah. What? Grease 3? I would have watched it for sure.
High School Musical is 10,000% a ripoff of Grease, but with Absolutely. A better ending. Sorry, yeah. I said it. Because Grease, as we've mentioned, the moral of Grease 1 is if people don't like you, then change yourself. Whereas High School Musical does a better job of, like, Troy and Gabriella don't change themselves and their friends learn to, like, accept them, which yeah. is a better moral. But anyways, the movie is a ripoff of Grease. So mm-hmm. it is interesting to learn that that was intentional because it was just supposed to yeah. be another Grease movie. Right. And wow. then Disney was too cheap to pay for the rights. Also, what is this weird trend of, like, reboot sequels where all of the characters from the original movie, one, never left town, and yeah. B, all planned their pregnancies for the same time?
Yeah, like all their kids are in the same grade.
Yeah, like in what universe do you and all of your friends from high school be like, okay, we all got to get pregnant within the next few months because we all need our kids to be in the exact same grade?
I think that does happen.
Yeah, but does it not, happen between, like town-wide, no. And Rizzo?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Well, Miranda, thank you so much. Much to think about. Wow.
But before we jump off this.
Oh, what's up?
Is everyone aware of what High School Musical 3 was supposed to be?
Yes. I feel like we've talked before, about it.
Have we talked about it on the podcast?
We might have talked about it on a different podcast.
You and I have talked about it.
We've talked about it in depth. I don't think it's been on the podcast. Let's talk about it here and right now.
Yeah. So before they found out, I believe this is what caused them to change their mind. Zac Efron was getting too famous and they realized that he was not going to sign on for a fourth movie.
Yeah.
And so they were like, crap, we need to make the third movie the finale before we lose our star. Mm-hmm. And so they rewrote it to be senior year. Originally, mm-hmm. when they were like, we're going to just keep doing this series until the actors all die at 85 years old, High School Musical 3 was still going to be a Disney Channel original movie. It was not going to be in theaters. It was going to be a Halloween movie called High School Musical 3 mm-hmm. Haunted High uh-huh, School.
Uh-huh. I remember hearing about that when I was a kid and just being so furiously pumped. Like, just, it was, it, that, the idea of a haunted High School Musical is so far up my ass, I have no, wow, I have no words.
We were absolutely robbed.
Absolutely. Well, we do love High School Musical 3, so at least we had that. Mm-hmm. And honestly, Zac Efron got way too famous.
Good for him for being too famous for High School Musical, literally, honestly.
It's what he deserves. He's amazing.
I know, like, no joke, watching the High School Musicals, every time I watch them. And, like, I do genuinely love those movies for nostalgia's sake. But when I watch them, I'm like, truly, I can see why of this cast, Zac Efron is the one who made it big.
Certainly.
Because he is so, like, undeniably charismatic in those movies.
Absolutely.
That he is, like, performing at a whole different level than everyone else around him. It's ridiculous.
Honestly, I rewatch those movies honestly way too frequently for an adult woman, but I'm not sorry. And truly, the only character I care about is Troy, and doesn't that suck? But he's just so lovely and he's so charismatic.
He does
and
such,
like,
a good job.
Gosh, he's so good.
Also, just before we move on to the next message,
I don't want to are you gonna
promise we're not gonna continue the theme of this last week was like the Harry Potter minisode, and then like this is gonna be the High School Musical minisode. But what's the deal with, like, ultra sanitized spiritual sequels to kind of like risque original movies, you know? Where, like, Grease, as she mentioned, Grease has, like, Rizzo has a pregnancy scare, and, like, it has the teens, like, freaking smoking and drinking all the time. There are many hints that Kanicki is straight up, like, a date rapist. Mm-hmm. Like, it is so, it's very much, like, rooted in a more real place.
Sure.
And then Disney Channel was like, and now for their kids don't swear. And their kids barely kiss. I
thought you were going to say Grease 2 was more squeaky clean. Have you seen that movie?
I'm talking about like when they reboot it. And it's sure, the same.
Sure.
I tried to watch Mean Girls 2 because Mean Girls 1 is my favorite movie of all time. And I knew that Mean Girls 2 was going to be bad, but I thought it was going to be fun bad. And then it was just like so plain bad that I turned it off after 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. But it's the same thing with Mean Girls, where Mean Girls 1 has like a lot of raunchy jokes. And it like, it's PG-13, and then freaking Mean Girls 2, they all go to that same high school, and no one's ever heard of what sex is, and no one says anything besides, like, hell, that's it.
Yeah.
It's just so weird that the producers are like, this is the same world, but somehow everyone's brain chemistry has completely switched.
Did you ever see Legally Blondes?
No. But that's another. Yeah. Spiritual sequels and reboots are, I hate them.
Yeah, honestly.
I'm sure there are some that are good, but those are the exceptions. Mm-hmm. They're usually absolutely terrible.
Honestly. Well, Miranda, thank you so much for your email. What was that? Oh my gosh, my whole mind. Miranda.
It was an email.
Thank you for your email. Up next, we have a voicemail from Dana.
Hi, Lena and Ian. It's Dana, your Australian friend.
International listener!
I just want to say that when you guys said that you start school at 7:15 a.m. in America, that baffled me. Because in Australia, I think the norm for starting school is 9 a.m., at least it has been in my experience, and we finish at about 3 p.m. So do you guys finish at 3 p.m. as well? Because that'd be a really long day. Do you have lots of breaks, like recesses? I want to know more about how that works. Secondly, Ian, I totally agree with what you said about liking when shows put unlikely pairings of characters together. I absolutely love that as well. And one pairing that I wish we saw more of in Glee was Quinn and Kurt, because I've noticed that in season one, they're always paired together as dance partners in group numbers. And I just get a vibe from seeing like cast photos and behind the scenes videos that Diana Agron and Chris Colfer just seem to like be pretty close. And I just wish we got to see more of them as their characters together. I'm running out of time, but that's all I want to say. Thank you. Bye.
I super agree with that. I get such vibes from Quinn and Kurt that they're like secret friends. Like they're always like sat somehow near each other for like no reason. We never see them hang out in so many episodes. They're like dance partners and they like do cute things with each other. I want to see more about that. As for how school worked, at least where I went to school, in high school, we had this thing called A days and B days. Did you have that?
No.
Oh, okay. So, like, it was an A day or B day, and you essentially had 8 classes. And then, so A days, you would take the first set of 4 classes, and then B days, you would take the second set of 4 classes. And all of those classes were, like, an hour and a half. So, I remember we ended up getting out of school at, like, 2 ish. And our lunch was also pretty long. It was like an hour and a half as well. So you could like leave campus if you wanted. And no, we didn't get a lot of breaks. It was like 5 minutes in between classes and you had to run from like one side of campus to the other. I hated high school. We got a bunch of messages about this that were like, oh my God, I couldn't even imagine going to school at 7 a.m. and having your teachers bitch at you. And like, hear me out. It sucked. I hated high school for so many reasons. And like the time that it started and like the amount of like stuff that I had to do, like totally added to my absolute hatred of school growing up.
Yeah, I did that for 4 years and I can't imagine doing it.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
My school started at 7:15, as I mentioned. We had 6 classes every day. They were all 1 hour. And then I don't know how long lunch was. Let's do the math. We would get out at 2:45. So where does that leave us? So I guess we must have had like an hour and a half lunch as well.
Yeah.
If we started at 7:15 and got out at 2:45, I don't know.
We had this one thing. Every Tuesday we would have late starts where it would like start instead of at like 7,
we
it would
absolutely
start at 9.
Did not have
Well.
It was 7:15 every day. It was so terrible. Yeah, and then I would do, I had a before school class that I would go to every day, so I had to be there at, what time did that start? Did that start at 6:30? Okay, wait, I'm remembering now. My school started at 7:45, not 7:15.
Okay.
But my before school class started at 6:30. And so I had to be there at 6:30 every day. That makes more sense. And so school was 7:45 to 2:45. We're solving it, everyone. I've been out of high school now for what, like almost 8 years? I don't remember any of this.
No, I actually ran into my high school theater teacher. Him and I work in like the same building, but we don't see each other anymore because, you know, COVID. But we ran into each other and I was chatting with him and I realized I graduated in 2015 and like, I was like telling him stories about how I like drank alcohol and I was like, oh my God, I shouldn't have said that to my teacher. And then I called my mom and my mom was like, Lena, you are a whole adult. And I was like, yeah, mom, you're right.
Oh, goodness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stay in school, kids. It's real nice when you're done with it.
Yeah, I hate that crap. Well, Dana, thank you so much for your message. Up next, we have an email from Matilda.
Hi, Leanne and Ian. My name is Matilda. I'm 19 years old. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm, cue the jingle, an international listener. Oh, it's way too early in the morning to sing that. From Stockholm, Sweden.
International listener.
Oh, and I'm also a Gleek. And I'm working in fast food and I hate my life at the moment and I'm looking forward to possibly starting college this fall and getting to do some acting again.
Yay.
I started watching the show around 2014, though I'd snuck up on my older sister watching it in 2011 and I was too young to understand anything back then. And ever since, I've been a hardcore Gleek. I've met some great online friends because of the show. I had an awkward phase of creating fan pages, role-playing, and writing fanfics like most of us did back then. But now I'm just like you, older and wiser, and prefer season one over anything else that Ryan Murphy gave us during these very important years of our lives. My point with this message was to bring something to your attention that I believe is one of the greatest sins in Glee history. Even worse than robbing us from that deleted performance of Jesse and Rachel singing Goodbye 12, Goodbye 13, Hello Love. Okay, so... why did nobody ever think of making the band kids into real characters? Think about it. Most of these background actors were there for at least the first three seasons, and they never got a storyline. They even had an episode in season three where they used some of the band kids to make sure there were 12 members on stage in a competition, but totally missed the opportunity to flesh these characters out. Just imagine how fun it would have been and how realistic it would have been if some of the Glee kids maybe fell in love with a cute drummer boy or were besties with one of the girls who I think played the flute. If they're sitting there at every Glee rehearsal, then why do the writers not treat them like part of the team? That's all for today. Just some food for thought from an annoying Swedish girl who has no right to be this invested in an American TV show which ended 6 years ago. Love the podcast. Hugs, Matilda.
Matilda, A, you're not annoying at all. B, you have every right to be invested in this TV show. We are. What the heck? I have always felt this way. Oh my gosh. I saw a TikTok like 2 or 3 days ago that was like the drummer guy, like, and someone like cut together all of his scenes and him being cute and sassy and awesome and him being in like one of the competition numbers. And I was like, what a missed opportunity to put these people in the show. And if they were any smarter, they would have. So thank you for pointing this out, Matilda. It is a great thought. And honestly, you and I are of one mind. I thought the same thing. Thank you for putting this into the minisode. Thank you.
My favorite part of that TikTok is... there are times when Finn goes over to play the drums and like makes him stand up and move and he looks like kind of irritated by it.
Absolutely.
And it's so funny.
He's doing the most. I love it.
So great. It's so like good. Truly, there are so many different times. We kind of mentioned this in the duets episode where Glee, like for drama's sake, has like members leave the club or like something happens and... so now they're like at the competition, but they don't have enough members. But then the writers, or just like the writers forgot to have 12 characters in the show. And then they get to a competition and they're like, oh yeah, in season one, we established that there were supposed to be 12 members of this club. And frequently, the day of competition, they'll walk in and be like, so these three Cheerios agreed to perform with us today. Or like, so the band kids are going to perform with us today and they never speak. There's no storyline as to like how they're supposed to learn all of this stuff in a day. They knock it out of the park on stage, and then they go back to the Cheerios, yep, or they go back to the band, and they never speak and you again. Never learn their names. It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Completely agree.
Oh my gosh.
Well, heck. Matilda, thank you so much for your message. Up next, we have a voicemail from Charlotte.
Hi, Lena. Hi, Ian. My name's Charlotte. I'm listening from the UK. Pronouns are she, her.
International listener!
So I was just listening to your duet episode, and I just had a thought. Because you sort of say that you feel really sad for Artie, obviously with the Britney situation, and I kind of disagree. I feel like Artie did it knowing that he was doing it to get over Tina, and it was sort of set up that way. Like, Britney literally says, oh, you want to get over Tina, so let's have sex. And then it feels really weird, like, why, if that meant so much to Artie, why would he do it to get over someone? Anyway, shout out to my sister, because she doesn't know I'm doing this, and she loves your podcast. Love you, bye.
What's up, Charlotte's sister? Surprise!
Shout out! I like this message a lot. It's definitely not something that I thought about, but I think it, like, kind of goes along with what we kind of, like, the decision we came to, which was these two people did not, like, have a good enough conversation about, you know, hooking up, you know? I think that is a kind of, some people think it's a big step, some people don't. Obviously, Artie thought it was one thing, Britney thought it was another, but Artie was saying it was one thing, and Artie, like, you know, wanted to get over Tina. I just think these kids truly did not have a conversation with each other enough to be ready to make that big decision, because obviously you see Artie, like, regrets it and is sad, and yeah, he was doing it to get over Tina, and you know what, that's not super cool either, but I think that, you know, we should be having chats with the people we have sex with, you know?
Yeah, I think it's just a lot of them making assumptions about where the other person is coming from without ever trying to clarify it.
Absolutely.
And then afterwards, when they realize they weren't on the same page, because you are correct, Artie never vocalizes the fact that, like, this might be a big deal to him.
Absolutely.
It's just, like Lena said, have conversations, everyone.
Yeah. Be safe, you guys. Anyway, don't have sex with people unless they, like, are, like, totally know what they're getting into and, like, say yes, okay? Love you guys. up next, we have an email from Envy.
Just wanted to let you guys know that the reason Jacob Ben Israel is so horny all the time and stuff is because apparently that's a common anti-Semitic trope to hypersexualize while at the same time being like, oh, they're so ugly about Jewish male characters. I've seen a couple of TikToks from Jewish creators in the past explaining the topic in more detail, and I'm sure there's more info on Google too. But you guys have been wondering why he's like that, so I wanted to let you know why. He's not the only other character that falls into, like, harmful anti-Semitic tropes. Rachel is the main character, obviously, that falls into a stereotype. From Envy. Thank you, Envy, for this email. We've had a lot of people reach out to us about this in general and just about, you know, like, the Jewish stereotypes on Glee and how harmful they can be. We haven't mentioned it before because most of the messages were about plot lines that have not yet happened. And so it was kind of like a we'll cross that bridge when we come to it scenario. But, you know, Jacob Ben Israel has been in this show for a season and some change now. So we're addressing this now. So, yes, thank you, Envy. And it is very true that there are a lot of tropes in Glee with the Jewish characters that many people find offensive. Blanket statement, Lena and I, A, are not Jewish, and are not experts in anything, especially not Jewish culture, because as I mentioned, we are not Jewish. this isn't a topic that, like, we can speak on and that, like, we know stuff about.
But we definitely appreciate people like sending us messages and like adding their perspective into the mix for sure.
Yeah. I believe the reason that Glee has such a fixation on Jewish culture, because they have like so many characters who are Jewish and they mentioned like Jewish cultural stuff all the time, is because Brad Falchuk, who is one third of the creative force behind Glee, is himself Jewish. So I think that's the reason the show has such a hyper fixation on the culture, is because like it is his culture. But that doesn't mean that he is incapable of, you know, causing harm against his own community.
Yeah.
So it is a tricky situation.
Definitely.
So thank you to everyone who, you know, has like expressed the, I don't know, who has like expressed their opinions on that and their views on that and their perspectives on that.
Absolutely.
It is a very sticky situation.
Definitely. Well, and we thank you for pointing that out. Yeah, for sure.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Up next, we have a voicemail from Lila.
Hey guys, it's Lila again. I feel like I've sent so many voicemails, but you know what? It's okay. So I'm listening to duets at the very beginning when you're talking about like making commentary and like pausing and making commentary while watching things with other people. And I'm very guilty of that. And I feel kind of bad about it, but at the same time, I don't, because most of the commentary I make is actually kind of funny. But it's also annoying, so that's okay. So I was thinking back to the time that I watched Edward Scissorhands with my dad, which is like one of my favorite movies. And oh my gosh, Winona Ryder. Wow. Halfway through the movie, I paused it and explained to him the order of who I thought would die if it was a horror movie. So my question is, if Glee was a horror movie, which let's face it, it basically is, who do you think would die and like in what order? Yeah.
Lila.
Yeah, Lena, I think this is a you question.
This is a me question. If you don't know this about me, know this, you guys. I love horror movies. I love them so much. I cannot even express to you guys how much I love horror movies. And I especially love slasher horror movies with like the stereotypes in there and the killing order. That's just so fun to me. So I went ahead and put in like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like the 5 main stereotypes of like a slasher horror movie. And then I added, and then I put in characters, and then I wrote you a little horror story.
That's so exciting.
I know. It's not like a whole story, but you'll see it. So off the gate, here are like some stereotypes that you see in slasher horror movies. You have the jock. You have the cheerleader / the slut. These two people are basically like the same version of each other. They're usually dating, and they're both like, the guy's like a super womanizer. The girl is like, they're both very horny. They like, you know, end up being killed because they're being stupid because they're horny, right?
Mm-hmm. You and me.
Yep, you and me. Up next, we have like the stoner or the outcast guy, one of my favorite movies calls it the fool. And this guy is like, he's just like tagging along with his like two friends that are two sets of friends that are dating, and like who invited him, and he's like usually like playing pranks and being dumb. You know what I mean? And then we have the smart guy / the nice guy. And this guy is like trying to date the final girl. And he's like very nice. He's usually best friends with the jock. And like, but also, you know, I don't like the smart guy / the nice guy. They're usually the most boring character. And then we have our girl, the virgin / the final girl. This girl, her mind is unclouded with horniness. Her mind is unclouded with stupidity. She is our freaking hero. And she is the one who is gonna like win the game. And she's the girl who usually survives. So I casted them all. The jock, I put Puck in the jock role.
Agree.
The cheerleader, I put Santana.
A hard agree.
And then the stoner slash the outcast slash the fool. This guy is also usually like kind of like a perv. Like he's always like making comments at the girls. Oh,
yeah.
I put Artie in this role.
Yeah.
And then the nice guy slash the smart guy. I put Finn. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then our final girl, Quinn Fabray.
Okay, I was going to say it's Quinn or Tina for me.
Oh, Tina would be great too. Okay, yeah. That's good. I like that. So right out the gate, and then our killer, I'll tell you who the killer is. It'll be revealed. Out the gate. Santana, okay, so it's this group of friends. They're going to like go camping or something, right? It's, you know, these people. Out the gate, Santana and Puck go in the woods to hook up because they're too horny. The killer shows up, murders Puck. Santana watches, and she's like, ah! Like screaming and crying, and it's crazy. And then she like runs back to where the rest of the people are at the campsite, and she's like covered in blood and scantily clad. Like she's like wearing way less clothes than she had coming in. She wears like a bra and panties the rest of her life.
Same
girl. She's covered in blood. She's freaking out. And she tells them that Puck just got killed. And everyone's like, wait, what's going on? What's going on? And then they go to like hide in wherever they are. And then Santana ends up getting separated from the group and gets killed alone. And then,
so in the world of this movie, they're competing at a regional competition that's taking place at a campsite.
I love that. I love that. So Santana gets killed while she's alone. And then Finn and Quinn and Artie go to hide. And they end up like finding her body. And it's really sad. They're like, oh no, Santana. And then, so Finn and Quinn and Artie are hiding. And then Finn gets too brave. That's the smart guy's problem, is he always gets too brave. He's always trying to save the virgin. Ugh, idiot. And then he tries to fight the killer dead on impact. Like, doesn't even put up a fight. Like, just,
wait,
like, dies.
Finn?
Yeah.
I thought he was supposed to outlive Artie. Did Artie already die?
No.
Oh, keep going.
Keep going. Because in my experience, it's usually the fool and the final girl who make it. Okay.
I was confused. I was confused by the order you introduced the characters.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought that was the kill order.
Oh, no.
I was just misinformed. You're good.
No,
keep
sorry.
Going.
I mean, it is like, and then, so Artie and Quinn are the two left standing. And then it gets revealed who the killer is. And guess who it is? I bet you can. It's Will Schuster.
Yeah, obviously.
And then, so Quinn bucks up. She gets strong. She like knows like that she has to get out of this alive. So she like takes out the killer in a major way, like injures him pretty hard. Right. And then Artie ends up like, so like Quinn runs away, and then Artie is the one who has to pay the price for her, you know, being smart. So he's gone. So it's just Quinn left. And then Quinn and Will are like running, and like, you know, she's like outsmarting him. And then she ends up like brutally injuring and outsmarting the killer, and then running to town and getting help and survives. Did Will survive? I don't know. We'll find out in the sequel. There you go. There's Glee,
Nationals.
The horror release. There it is.
Incredible.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you. Thanks. I love horror movies. Doesn't that sound fun? Would you watch the heck out of that? I would.
I would too.
Thank you. Well, Lila, thank you so much for that message. It brought me so much joy. Up next, we have an email from Ava.
Hello, fellow Gleeks. I sent in a voice message today about the episode Duets, and I needed to send an email too since I had unfinished thoughts that couldn't be recorded in the one-minute voice message. My voice message said something about being upset that Finn just assumed that Sam was straight, and I just want to think about this from Sam's perspective for a second. By this point in the show, it has never been explicitly stated that Sam is straight, if I remember correctly. You are correct, Ava.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's just say that Sam is queer. Imagine being a new kid, coming into this high school, joining this glee club, getting a partner for this assignment right off the bat, instead of being excluded as the new kid, and then being told that you shouldn't sing with that kid because he's gay. If Sam was queer, could you imagine the damage that would cause? Who knows if Sam would ever come out after that?
Mm-hmm.
Being a queer kid already isn't easy, but seeing homophobia be tossed around so casually would be so traumatizing, especially if you are closeted. I feel like this hit me harder because I feel personally connected to this type of situation. I look, quote, straight, and everyone I've met assumes I'm straight, even though I'm bisexual. My friends sometimes make jokes about how straight I am, which makes me apprehensive to come out to them. Even though I know they will be supportive, the disbelief that they might feel or the questioning I might have to face is really daunting. To see a character like Finn, a person who is framed as the good guy, be so careless really hurt me, especially as I feel like that hypothetical Sam in the sense that I am assumed to be straight. So to wrap up my rambling, I just think that the writers handled that really poorly. They have all these great ideas for storylines, but they never carry them out right. It frustrates me even more that in the end, Finn and Bert drive Kurt away from Sam, even though he does nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong with a simple crush, and like you both said in the episode, Kurt is not being predatory. He is just trying to get to know. He is just trying to get to know this new kid who could potentially be queer or could be straight. None of them know that because Sam has not said anything. Mm-hmm. Anyway, thank you both for the podcast that you run. It is something I look forward to every week, and you both have truly helped me out of some tough spots, even if you had no clue you were doing so. Hope some of that made sense, Ava. Ava, that all made sense. Yeah, that was fantastic. Yeah, that all made thank sense you. To me.
I really love this message. I think just, like, as a culture, it's really, you know, everyone kind of just assumes that, like, straightness is the, like, the normal. And, like, the queerness is the abnormal, which I just think is kind of super messed up. And it sucks that, like, because Sam has this, like, persona of a jock and, you know, like, maybe, like, quote-unquote, like, straight, like, you know, straight guy attributes, that they just assume that he wouldn't want to hang out with Kurt, or he wouldn't be gay, you know, or he wouldn't be queer. And, like, that's just so messed up. And yeah, like, I love this message for real.
Yeah, thank you, Ava.
Thank you, Ava. Up next, we have a voicemail from Christine.
Hi, guys. It's Christine, she, her pronouns. I just finished listening to your duets episode, and I just wanted to hop on here and kind of share a fun little fandom galact, because I used to be really in the Tumblr fandom of Glee. And so, like, you, during the episode, you guys were talking about Kurt using Elizabeth as his middle name. And so in the fandom, it was kind of like a big headcanon that Elizabeth was Kurt's mom's name. And so he just started using that name as his middle name to kind of remember her and that kind of thing. So I completely forgotten that that wasn't even canon until you guys started talking about it. So yeah, I just wanted to hop on here and kind of share that fun little fact. I love the podcast. You guys are great. Love you. Thanks. Bye.
I love this message so much. A few people tweeted us this as well, and I had no idea that this was, like, you know, like, a fun, like, headcanon that everyone had kind of gone behind. And guess what? I'm behind it too. That's yeah, the sweetest thing I've ever heard. I love that.
It's very precious.
Very sweet. Well, Christine, thank you so much. Up next, we have an email from Libby.
All right. She says, hello, Lean and Ian.
That's obviously a typo, dude.
I don't know. I thought it might be a fun nickname.
A lot of people think my name is Leah. We've gotten a few messages that are addressed to Leah and Ian. My name is Lena.
No, it's Leah to Leah Michelle.
Oh, gosh. Sorry. I'll forward that on.
Surprise. My name is Libby, and I am a Gleek. Pronouns. Now I feel like, Libby, I wasn't trying to make fun of you for writing Lean.
You jerk.
I honestly, in the same way that
you're gonna make fun of Libby.
In the same way that I speak punctuation, I sometimes will purposely, like, call people a different thing to entertain myself solely.
What would you?
And I thought that was something you were doing. Sorry. Oh, anyways.
My I wish you had. Libby. I wish you did that to me. I've been searching
Lena,
for a friend to give me a nickname forever.
For our first year of friendship, I would call you Leaner Canasta. Do you not remember that?
I feel like I do. Leaner. Gotta keep an eye out for Leaner.
Yeah, okay, and fine. It was. Yeah,
so, you dropped that. We've been friends for.
I know.
A while.
It fell out of favor with me. I don't know why.
I don't know. The only person who truly has a nickname for me is my brother. He calls me Lean Cuisine. Or he calls me Leans. That's cute.
All right.
Anyway, bye.
And signing off. That's the end of the mini-sode.
Let's keep reading Libby's.
My name is Libby, and I am a Gleek.
Sorry, Libby.
Pronoun she, her from Michigan. I wanted to get my thoughts out to you before your duets episode drops because I am very prone to the power of suggestion and wanted to see if I really share all of your opinions or I just love you guys so much that I automatically agree with you. Honestly, why the fuck couldn't Kurt just sing with Sam? Like Mercedes and Santana sang together. Even if Kurt's objective is to find out if Sam is gay or not, he should be allowed to do that. Kurt wasn't suggesting love songs. Actually, I'm pretty sure two dudes sing the songs Kurt suggested later. This is Ian. You are correct. Will and Mike later perform Make 'Em Laugh in a future episode.
Yeah.
Back to Libby. Trigger warning, everyone. If you have, you know, if you have sexual assault trigger warning, just go ahead, hit that 30-second skip button. If we're going to go with the headcanon that Quinn was sexually assaulted by Puke, I mean, Puck, that was sincerely an accident, but I'm keeping it. Can we talk about Diana Agron's acting? In the scene when they are practicing Lucky, Sam says, grab my hips. She hesitates and puts her hand on his shoulder. Sam doesn't react because he is a king. I mean, doing the bare minimum, but I'll take it. Then, once they almost kiss, Quinn has a trauma response. Mm-hmm. I can so clearly see in her acting that she is panicking, not fully understanding her trauma, and blaming her reaction on other things. I just feel like this is so relatable for a lot of people, and I can tell Diana was intentionally acting in a respectful way. Also, Sam's reaction apologizing twice, even though he wasn't in the wrong, chef's kiss, beautiful scene. I love that Kurt channels his anger about people not respecting him as a musician that just wants to sing a male-male duet into a piece about gender expression. Mm-hmm. To me, it was him saying, I am not just gay, I am also a person, a musician, a fucking 16-year-old. I wish that sentiment was explored more. Did y'all see Quinn's face when Santana was shaking her butt? 100% queer-coded, just saying. If I was voting for who won the duets, the order would be, first, Kurt. Not only did he think out of the box and change the meaning of duets, it's almost like creativity is a common learning objective in music classes. He also was the most prepared and theatrical. Second place, Mercedes and Santana. Students grouping outside of their social circles because they've learned how to feature their own voices, A+. Mm-hmm. Third, Mike and Tina. It was cute. Mike's first time singing gave the kids some recognition. Fourth, Sam and Quinn. Cute, but not creative. Low-key boring. Fifth, Rachel and Finn. And then she says, she finishes off with some non-duet thoughts, and they are, 1, I love you both. 2, you both have really good relative pitch. I think a fun game for the minisodes would be for each of you to sing a little bit of your favorite song from the last episode and see if you were in the right key. Jenna Marbles did that on her podcast, and it was really entertaining. 3, I love you both. 4, I think it'd be super fun if during the season wrap episodes, you each choose one of the songs that you said you'd do for a given week's assignment and actually did it. 5, I love you both. 6, just kidding, that's all. Can you tell I'm a music ed major with the homework I gave you? Fantastic job with the pod, Libby. All right, Libby, I do not think I have relative pitch.
Yeah.
I think Lena does. I don't think I do, but we're going to find out. For those who do not know, relative pitch means essentially you can think back to a song that you know and you can sing that song and it will be in the exact key that the song itself is in. Mm-hmm. Like you have such a memory for pitches that you will be in the right key. I am fairly certain I do not have it.
Yeah, I'm also pretty sure I don't have it. I think I probably have it a little more than Ian.
Yeah, just I agree with that.
But I also don't think I have absolutely like relative pitch. Okay, so we talked about this a little bit beforehand, and we decided that we're gonna pick a song for each other, so we mm-hmm. couldn't like, you know, like prep it before. Mm-hmm. So Ian, the song I chose for you is With You I'm Born Again. Just kidding.
No, that was literally the one we said we couldn't pick because we know, don't I'm know kidding. How it goes.
I want you to sing a little bit of River Deep, Mountain High.
Okay. When I was a little girl, I had a rag doll. The only doll I'd ever known.
Okay. I'm going to play
now
a little bit
now. I love you in the way.
I don't think you were right.
Yeah, I think I was like a half step or a full step off. Well, I don't have relative pitch. All right.
But a pretty fun game.
Lena, you're going to do Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
Okay. And it's the Glee version. Okay. Okay.
Picture Finchel in your head.
Yes. Can you give me like the first lyrics, like the first lines? Because my mind goes right to the chorus.
It literally just starts out, "Don't go breaking my heart. Okay. I couldn't if I tried."
Okay. Don't go breaking my heart. I couldn't if I tried. I think it's that. Don't go. Don't go. Don't go. Don't go.
We're going to be smarter about this time. We're going to find out the note you started on.
Don't.
Okay, you started on an F.
Okay.
Don't
go breaking my heart.
Let's find out if you're correct.
I tried. Okay.
Spoiler alert, having sung this song before and seen the sheet music, I think you're right.
I'm very nervous. Don't go breaking my
heart. Okay. Don't. Relative pitch, baby! Also,
my
brother pointed this out to me. Remember how I was like, when I sang Don't Go Breaking My Heart, I had to start everything on an N vowel to get it in my mask. Listen to Cory Monteith.
He goes, don't.
So, you know, he's coming for my brand. What can I say?
I love everything about this email, for sure. I especially love the thought about Quinn having a trauma response to Sam trying to kiss her, and then Sam like being cool about it anyway, and like just like, ugh, I love that thought. I hadn't even thought about that, so I really appreciate someone pointing that out. Libby, thank you so much. What the heck?
Yeah.
Well, up next we have a voicemail from Sam.
Oh my god, hi, is this going? Okay, guys, shut up. I've never felt compelled enough to call in before. Like, I've never thought that my opinions were interesting enough. I've been here since the beginning, like, but literally the first time I've ever felt like I had to say something is because you guys just said that Grease 2 slaps, and me and my sister are fucking, oh my god, wait, I can't swear. I mean, maybe, you'll probably bleep it. Me and my sister are obsessed with Grease 2, oh my god, like, every time we hang out, we have to watch it. It's like our favorite movie. So I'm really glad that you guys also appreciate it. That means a lot to me. Anyways, okay, I have extra time. I love you guys so much. This has been my favorite podcast that I've ever discovered, and it's actually made me get into more podcasts. Okay, I'm running out of time. I love you guys so much. Thank you guys for the podcast. Thank you for everything you do. You're both lovely. Here's kisses on your foreheads. Mwah, mwah.
Thank you, Sam. That's very nice.
It's a very sweet message.
Thank you for, you know, sticking around for all these months and listening. You know what? We'll be your podcast for all seasons. I don't know the rest of that song.
I'll get through the da-da-da-da-da-da-da, because I love.
We'll be your
C-O-O-L. Podcast. Dude, you guys have to watch Grease 2. That shit is bomb. Oh, and a lot of people, I think, are maybe, we won't bleep you guys. So Ian and I, we decided in the minisodes like a couple weeks ago that we would like bleep ourselves in the swears that we choose to say, but like we don't want to like censor you guys. Does that make sense? So we're not going to bleep you. Does that make sense? That's why you hear Ian swearing in the emails.
Yes, we do not censor our the feedback. We just censor ourselves.
Yes.
It's a weird rule we came up with, but it's what we came up with.
It makes sense to us. I don't know.
just one more tip the hat to you, Sam. I'd love to remind you of the Recovering Gleek pledge to act cool.
Oh my gosh.
To look cool, to be cool, to death do us part, think Gleek. That movie is ridiculous.
Honestly, it is way better than Grease. I stand by that. Sam, God bless you. Thank you so much for messaging us. final voicemail of the night. We have a voicemail from Ray.
Hi, Lian. Hi, Lena and Ian. This is Ray. I am here in Texas trying to keep my water on. So thank you for adding a warm and bright spot to my Wednesday. Y'all just did your duets episode and you didn't talk about my favorite line from this episode, which always stuck with me, which is when Rachel says to Kurt, I know you're lonely, but you're not alone. I love that line so much. It hit me and it stuck with me for so long. It's one of those moments that's like, Glee, this show does not deserve to have a line that good. And anyways, yeah, I love duets. It's a great episode. Everyone gets a little moment to shine, except fucking Will Schuster. Okay, my time is running out. I love y'all. Have a wonderful time. Bye.
Ray, relatable content. Mm-hmm. I'm in Texas as well. The last time I showered was 1 week ago today. For anyone who doesn't know, the universe, you know, is just playing a prank on all of us. The prank might also be called, you know, climate change. Mm-hmm. But there was a crazy by Texas standards winter storm this week. And I know there are so many people that live in like northern states who are like, oh, you wussies, you can't deal with an inch of snow or 18 degrees. What you don't understand is Texas buildings have absolutely no insulation. They do not have fireplaces. And like the water system is not meant to, like, Texas is not built to deal with this. Yeah. We do not have like chains on our cars, nothing. So like Texas shut down. You could not go anywhere. Businesses were closed. We did not have power for like two entire days. We were literally just like freezing our butts off in our apartment. It was terrible. Thankfully, the power is back, at least for me. But water pressure is still weird. So I am going on a week of not showering. I have washed my hair in the sink, but my body smells.
Yeah.
And it's been lovely.
Not even to mention, you have a 5-month-old with you.
Yeah, we also had straight up an infant with us.
Yeah.
And he had to sleep in bed with my mom because, like, he lives in Texas. We didn't buy, like, he doesn't own, like, crazy warm clothes. Mm-hmm. So we put two swaddles on him and then he slept in bed with my mom because we didn't want him to, you know, like, freeze to death in his crib at night. So pretty dope.
The dopest. Well, my heart goes out to you and to everybody in Texas right now. I hope everyone is staying warm and being safe. That makes me really sad to hear. But along with this voicemail, I love this line so much. And I can't believe we didn't mention it. And yeah, you're right. Glee does not deserve a line as beautiful as that. And you know what? To all of you out there who are feeling lonely, I know you're lonely, but you're not alone. I love you guys. Thank you for being a part of our mini-sode and listening and being here and being awesome. And I love you guys.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek colon Ugly colon Podcast.
Ugly Podcast.
We love all of you. If you want to send us any feedback for our next mini-sode, you can send us a voicemail, anchor.fm/recoveringgleek. You can send us an email, recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Tune in 2 days to hear us talk about Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Glee Show.
Rocky Horror Glee Show, thank you.
You're welcome.
You just come prepared. It's a tribute episode, so you can already guess how I felt about it.
Yeah, and have you guys watched that episode recently? You should.
Yeah, I will say, if it's you a lot to like, think about. If you love every aspect of that episode, but you haven't seen it in over 5 years, I would suggest you watch it again.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lot. A little spoiler on how we felt about it. Well, heck, we love you guys. Thank you so much for being here. Here's a kiss, a mini kiss on your forehead. Have a good day, you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.